Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are joining me today because I have America First candidate Abe Hamadeh running. He's running for Congress. He's running for my congressional seat. So if he wins, he would represent me. And so I'm going to have him on today. We're going to talk about some issues that are important to him and why he got into the run. We're also going to find out what happened in his court cases, because for those of you who don't know, he ran in 22 for attorney general. He is a former prosecutor here in Maricopa County, and he ran for attorney general, and there was some things that happened in his case. And of course, we know that anyone who was running in 22 as a strong Republican, their election was tampered with. So we had a lot of issues in 22. And so we had court cases. So we're talking about all that and more right here on today's episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. The easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you could donate. 5, 10, 100, whatever you feel like you could donate. That would be so helpful. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub, so find me in those locations. If you want to follow me on X, you can find me at DJ Amber May. When I used to work at the radio station, DJ Amber May. You can find me there. And then The Commander's Artist has some beautiful artwork. So check out thecommandersartist.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout to save some money. That's thecommandersartist.com. Use promo code Amber. The links are in the description or on my website at theambermayshow.com. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Abe Hamadeh. Well, I want to welcome Abe Hamadeh to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Amber.
I'm excited to interview you because, you know, you ran as Attorney General in Arizona. Now you're running as my congressman in Congressional District 8 for, you know, Congress. So I want to get into that. But I think we need to get to know who Abe Hamadeh is. Thank you for your service. I know you are an Army veteran, and I want to appreciate you for serving our nation. But how did you go from like being in the military going to, and I think we're actually, you, me, and Christina Bob, I think we're all alum of Arizona State, right? You went to ASU?
I did for undergraduate. Yeah.
All three of us are alum at ASU. So how did you go from being a veteran or an attorney? I don't know which way came first, or did you do both at the same time? I know you were an intelligence officer. I don't know how the military works. If you can have two jobs at once being JAG, I'm not really sure. So what, like, how did you start to getting to running for office?
Well, I think we got to go even further back than that. So, you know, I'm the son of immigrants. My family came here from Syria in the 80s. I was born in Chicago, unfortunately. Don't hold that against me, Amber. And then we ended up in Arizona when I was about 6 years old. It was a, you know, random story, but you know, my dad, we were on food stamps for a while, but my dad randomly won the lottery in Chicago, and it included a stay at the Scottsdale Princess Resort. It was like $50,000. So as soon as I got off the flight in Sky Harbor in January compared to Chicago, they looked at each other and they said, wow, we found the Middle East of America. So it was an easy decision for them to move out here. And especially now, I mean, Arizona is really cold today. So imagine how it is in the Midwest. And, you know, we just made our life here in Arizona, and in the Congress in that district that you're in. And I've talked about this. It's where we finally made the American dream, where we built our first house, a 2-story house, a 3-car garage. You know, we went through 3 different schools out there. My brother, his first job is a lifeguard up there. So it was just it's come full circle now. But how I got involved in politics, it was when I was in high school. It was probably 2007. And I was watching the Republican primary debates. You know, I was like 15, 16 years old. And I noticed someone who wasn't like the others. And that was Congressman Ron Paul. And he really opened up my viewpoints quite a bit. And ever since that moment, I've really gotten involved in politics and looking around to discover the truth. And, you know, from there, I was part of the Tea Party movement in 2010. And that was really great to be in DC with FreedomWorks. And, you know, I came back, graduated ASU, went to the University of Arizona for law school. So a little bit of a rivalry right there.
Yes, you do.
And in law school, that's when I joined the Army ROTC program, and where I commissioned as a second lieutenant as an intelligence officer, as well as graduating from law school. And, you know, was a prosecutor at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office for years. And during COVID, it was interesting. COVID, you know, really shut down the courthouse in many ways. And there was an opportunity for me to deploy out to Saudi Arabia. And I figure, well, everything is shut down here in America. Let me go on, you know, I'll go on this deployment. So I left on my deployment with the U.S. Army Reserves out in July of 2020 to September of 2021 in Saudi Arabia. And that's when I came back and I announced my run for attorney general. Many ways I looked around and I told people, you know, I no longer recognize our country. Mm-mm. And I mean, even in the last few years, it's getting exponentially worse, and it's becoming very tyrannical. And we have to step up now more than ever. The same people who got us into this mess aren't going to be the ones who get us out of it. So we need bold, determined, you know, a new generation of leaders who are going to be in this battle for a while, because it did take us decades to get us to where we're at.
Oh, yeah. I think about 100 years it's taken them. I mean, little by little, you can go back now and see the little increments that have led us to where it is today. Because if they flat out just tried to change everything all at once, people would have backlashed against them. But right. When you boil a frog little by little, people accept it. And they may not see it because they're so busy. We're all so busy just living life, taking care of our family, going to work, that it's hard sometimes to see the incremental little shifts that the globals have done. And you and I have something else in common. So my dad is from the Middle East as well, and he immigrated here to the United States. And he came straight to Arizona because there was a doctor, a missionary doctor, that brought him right here to Arizona. And that's where he met my mom. So I guess you and I have something else in common. So our parents are first generation American, which is pretty cool. Especially from that area of the world, right? So, and I mean, you could never tell looking at me, right? But yeah,
that's like my mom. My mom is, you know, white and blonde hair, and you know, very, very pale. But you know, I think that's something that probably provides us a unique perspective, Amber. We kind of understand what's at risk. You know, I have family from Syria, from Venezuela. I know that if the flame of freedom is extinguished in America, it's gone forever. So we have to fight with everything we've got to preserve it, because the United States, our founding fathers were brilliant men, and it's such a shame what the Marxists are doing by transforming our country into these other places that our families left from. And you know, we got to do everything we can to defend it.
Well, I take the border seriously, especially because my dad did it right. You know, he went through immigration processes. He had a sponsor that brought him here, and he went through the immigration ways, and then he married my mom eventually, and it just expedited things faster. But it's not just regular people around the world that just want a better life. And even if that was the case, because my dad did it the right way, there's no excuse for other people not to do it the right way. That being said, okay, we're having an invasion. You were in the military. You are a fighting man. Like, you're in the age of fighting men, okay? I want your perspective on what is happening at the border. You and I live on a border state. We see it the hardest here in Arizona, California, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, the hardest. And now sanctuary cities like New York City, now finally the repercussions of what this policy has done. I want you to explain what you feel is happening to our national safety and what you want to do if you win the congressional seat in CD8 and represent Arizona and Washington.
Right. I think we have to look and see why this is happening. Just under 4 years ago, when President Trump was in office, you didn't see this invasion at our border. What's happening is very intentional by this administration, by the Democrats and the Marxists. They're trying to fundamentally transform our country. We've imported 8 to 10 million illegals in the last 3 years. Think about that. That's bigger than the size of the population of Arizona. We just inherited a new state, Amber. It's a very easy solution to fix, by the way, because we've seen it with President Trump. It's enforcing the laws. You don't need new laws. You need to enforce the laws. All of these people are coming across the border. They're saying that they're asylum seekers. That's not true. We know it's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're having some of them even self-deport back to where they came from after they figure out how difficult it is to live in this country with Biden inflation. But something that we have to look at what's going on, it's our southern border is being exploited. It's being exploited by our enemies. China is sending spies across the southern mm-hmm. border, which I'm very concerned about, especially in our district, Amber, where the Congressional District 8 has the largest chip manufacturing company in the world that just moved out of Taiwan into Arizona, the semiconductor. So you're going to have a lot of Chinese spies who are looking at trying to infiltrate. And how do we know this? Well, China sent a spy balloon last year all across our country. They've also opened up a bioweapon lab in California that was only discovered because a maintenance worker looked at it and said that this building shouldn't have had water in it. And that was a Chinese weapons lab. And the mainstream media has not talked about this enough. And then you look at the radical Islamists who are coming across our southern border that Iran is trying to encourage and Hamas and all of these folks. So this is a recipe for disaster. And that's why we had 170 people on the terror watch list who are apprehended at the southern border. Now imagine the gotaways. Mm-hmm. So something I want to focus on when I'm in Congress is on day one, I want to make, and I know President Trump is on board, we have to declare war on the cartels. We have to label them a foreign terrorist organization because they operate as a business. The cartels are, it's similar to the mafia. It's similar to the Yakuza in Japan. Mm-hmm. They are a business operation. We have to limit their ability to access the global financial network, but then we also have to militarize the border. No other country on earth would accept this type of invasion and just having Border Patrol, which is now acting as de facto travel agents for these migrants. It's unacceptable. We need to lay down the hammer, and it's unsustainable. You know, you look at any other country. If we try to enter into Mexico right now, we would either be jailed or we would be deported back into the United States. So we have to get a lot tougher with Mexico because the people who are coming across the southern border are majority not Mexican. They're actually coming in from Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Europe even. So
South America, yes.
Right. And Mexico needs to put a lot tighter restrictions based on when you have them flying into the airports, getting off, and then they're basically busing them to the north. And Mexico is involved in this, by the way. I mean, I've been down to the border. They literally have government printed pamphlets that they give these migrants that encourage them to get across the southern border and help them. So we have to get a lot tougher with Mexico on it. And we just saw the other week Anthony Blinken and Mayorkas go down there, and they got laughed out of the room. Mexico walked all over them. So we need President Trump back in office. That's going to make all of our jobs a lot easier because we've seen the destruction of what happens when we have a Marxist president in the White House.
My fear is there's so many anti-American people coming, like people that just hate our country. Mm-hmm. And I am waiting for the shoe to drop where something happens that kills multiple millions, hundreds of Americans right here in the United States. I'm in Ecuador right now, there is the cartel and they're doing this invasion, and it's pretty scary what's happening in Ecuador. We see what's happening with the Hamas in Israel. That's definitely a plausible thing to happen right here in the United States with all the military-aged men coming to our nation. I don't know what their plot is. I don't know what they're planning. I'm not sure, but I feel very unsafe, and the number one duty of the federal government is to protect the homeland. That's the number one duty, and we've had a dereliction of duty. Do you think that is possible to have some terrorist activity sweep across our nation? Is that a possible thing?
Sadly, yes, and I think it's this type of black swan event, even though it's kind of not a black swan because we kind of all see it coming, and we see it coming because the Biden administration and the policies that they're putting forth are encouraging it. I mean, when you have the federal air marshals not conducting any patrols on airliners because they're out there hunting January 6th people who are there, that's going to probably look at ways that our foreign adversaries are going to exploit the airline industry. So this is it's becoming scary. And that's why I want people to understand it is intentional. It's very intentional what's happening. It's almost encouraging this type of situation to happen. I'm not sure why, but we just have to look at it logically. You know, why would a country, why would a leader allow this many people to come in who are unvetted? I mean, I was at the Sky Harbor International Airport not too long ago. And if you go there, you see these migrants. They don't even have IDs. They don't have IDs to travel across our country. We don't know where they end up. And you are seeing some of these leftist mayors like in New York and Chicago who are pushing back against this policies that they've been promoting, right? Mm-hmm. Where they call themselves sanctuary cities. So I'm very concerned, and especially as an intelligence officer, that we are not focused on the homeland enough, and we are encouraging, we're almost encouraging an attack. And I don't want to see that happen, obviously, because it's going to be so detrimental to the fabric of our country, which is already on edge. But I don't know what these people have planned. All I know is that they're encouraging this type of this policy.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
To celebrate the new year, we're having the biggest sale ever on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save 60% on our Goose Down Comforters, the best comforters ever. They go perfectly with our MyPillow bed sheets and duvet covers. Save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels. They're made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. Our seasonal flannel sheets are finally in. You save up to 50%, and they sell out fast every year, so order now. They're truly the best flannel sheets you'll ever sleep on. Or save up to 80% on all our clearance items. And this is where it gets even better. For a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And so California wants to allow illegals to access free medical care and sex changes. Now, I'm guessing that has to be on a Medicare dime. I'm going to guess that's what that Social Security, Medicare. I don't know how else California would be able to do that. So is there something that Congress can do to implement laws to say, okay, these people never paid a dime in taxes and they wanted drain. It's so frustrating because our paychecks are getting smaller and smaller because the policies that are in place right now are taking more and more. I can't control really how much money the government takes out of my paycheck. They just take it and that's it. And that I don't really have control over that. And then when you see them wanting to give medical care, free medical care to people who have never paid into the system, it really upsets me because my medical bills go up exponentially and less money is in my paycheck for me to spend. Is there something Congress can do to mitigate who can get healthcare? And also along with that line, we know China's bought land in North Dakota right next to air bases. We know that they've purchased farmland. So it's a twofold question, really. Are you willing to pass legislation or introduce legislation to forbid non-citizens? Now, I'm not talking about green card holders. That's fine. I don't mind if a green card holder owns land, but non-citizens owning land in the United States and gaining access to the Social Security Medicare system.
Absolutely. So to the first point with the California, what they're doing, that's at the state level. And I think they're going to bankrupt their state. It's already basically bankrupt. It's going to go into even more financial ruin. But in regards to the second question, yes, I would propose a ban on foreigners from purchasing property in the United States. If you look at residential homes, I mean, it is unaffordable for most Americans. Mm-hmm. I got lucky that I bought, I've been in the real estate business for a while. I bought one of my first property down in Tucson when I was going to law school. Then I sold it. I bought a place up here in Phoenix. So it's, and that was when it was affordable. And now what we've seen after COVID, it's everything has skyrocketed. And it's because of these conglomerates, foreign conglomerates purchasing so much of these single family homes, or these, they want to build these multifamily residential complexes. So it is, the American dream is dead under Democrats and under the Marxist rule. And Republicans, sadly, for a long time have kind of been in cahoots with them. So this is where we have to, you know, we have to start to think differently, than what we were told by too many people. Oh, the free market's just going to work itself out. It's not going to work itself out when you have China and Saudi Arabia and the UAE that can basically pillage their own people and then purchase every single property in the United States. And they have unlimited money. So this is where I think we need to pass legislation to ban foreigners from purchasing a lot of these properties. You're exactly right. There needs to be exceptions, like green card holders. You know, we have to be very reasonable. But you know, something else I want to talk about too is the idea of what's happening right now is, whether it's the invasion at the southern border, importing these third world migrants all across our country, they're trying to erode the cultural fabric of our nation.
That's a good point.
And COVID really kind of was the impetus to so many of it. I mean, you look at churches were shutting down, are shutting down at an exponential rate. And I look around and I say, you know, the church and these religious places of worship, these are the most critical parts of a healthy society. Mm-hmm. And yet the government isn't able to help these churches out to keep them afloat, because, you know, some of these churches are, they're asking for a few hundred thousand dollars just to keep their doors open. And yet they can't get loans. Yet we're the loans that we're giving to students to go become radicals at these universities. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So I want to propose legislation to protect these churches and places of worship, where we can now extend their life with a loan instead of just 30-year mortgages, maybe put a 60-year mortgage on them so that they can actually afford it. Because the churches and the religious worship places are so important to a healthy society. And I'm starting to see that when they're shutting down at a rate we've never seen before.
Right.
I don't know how that's going to transform Americans' culture, but I know that's what the Marxists want. So we have to protect the traditions and the fabric that has made our country great.
Well, even Karl Marx said, if you're going to introduce communism, you have to get rid of the nuclear family and religion. That's absolutely true. If you look at Europe, so many churches are vacant, if they're even still in existence, across Europe.
Right.
Which used to be a very Christian continent, right? Even the King of England is supposed to protect the faith, right? Isn't that what his job is, or that's what he declares? But yet so many churches even in across Europe have been shut down, or people don't know basic Bible stories. I don't know what your faith is, but, you know, mine's Christianity. And people used to know basic Bible stories about David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and just basic ones. And now I guess the Good Samaritan, I don't think that people would know even that. And you're right. That does change the fabric of our nation, because the founding fathers believed in God and they had the Judeo-Christian viewpoint, and that will change the fabric of our nation. You know, I remember in junior high, they started implementing, celebrating other cultures. And when you always celebrate differences, it ununites somebody. We have to start recognizing the things that unite us, things that make us similar, things that bring us together. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing other cultures. And please don't hear me that I think that's wrong. But instead of focusing on the school levels about other cultures and the differences, how about what makes us one? What brings us together? And when you flood, and I think they've even seen this around Europe, it's really changed the dynamic of the cultures in those countries, because they've had an open borders policy because Marxism is all over the world now, right? So I love your point of what you just said about changing who we are as a people. Just right. The fabric. I want to keep, if other countries can keep their culture, I would love to keep ours too. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
Right. And especially, you know, you just mentioned, you know, basically the tenets of our founding motto, which is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. And what's really concerning when you're talking about the combination of all of these things happening at once, where you have this record number of third world migrants coming in, where you have the Marxists at the universities indoctrinating students, even at the elementary school level now. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about, you know, what's happening all across the country. It's going to be a recipe for disaster when you start to see what the Marxists, what they have in store for us. And that, look at, they're winning right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Europe. This is, you know, Europe, as you mentioned, is rather godless. And, you know, they don't allow abortion after 12 or 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And yet here in the United States, which still does have a lot higher religion than Europe, the Democrats and the Marxists are really controlling that narrative of trying to push abortion up until birth. So, you know, we got to wake up. We got to wake up to understand what these Marxists have in store for us. And it's not good. And right. we got to push back on it.
I think where you want to go is horrible. I mean, Washington, D.C., we all know is so dirty and so swampy. And we've seen what they've done to President Trump. And the fact that he's even running again, I applaud him, because the man doesn't need the drama. Ever since he became president, he's had nothing but trouble. They've just gone after him and gone after him because he's not part of the club. Mm. He's an elite. You know, he has the money. He's in that 1%, but he is not part of the club. He didn't want to participate in the things they were doing. He didn't believe in the things they were doing. And so now he's public enemy number one. And they try to destroy him. And I think God's hand of protection's on that man. Otherwise, I think he would have folded by now. The fact that he wants to run again is incredible to me. And I'm glad, because I think we need him.
Yeah.
And so you know President Trump. And so you've seen what they're doing to him. And they go after America First candidates. They go after America First believing seat holders. And I believe that you'll probably join that caucus, the America First caucus. And knowing how hard things are going to be down there, like, what is your expectation? What are things that you want to accomplish? I hope term limits are one. I think that's one way we can really clean up Washington. If we limit the amount of power, another piece of legislation I would like you to think about if you make it to D.C. is putting term limits on judges. Why do they need to be lifelong? We have seen the corruption of judges here in Arizona and across the nation with the President Trump trials. There's no need for them to have a lifetime appointment. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, okay? So I think we need to limit not just the term limits in Congress, but the judges too. What are your thoughts?
So looking at what you're talking about with President Trump, what he's going through, you know, what we are going through in Arizona is something similar with what happened in the last election with Carrie Lake and myself. And Carrie Lake and, you know, I've also been fighting in the courts. I have 3 active election lawsuits because we know what they did. Those mm-hmm. printers going down, those machines going down, it hit Arizona's congressional district 8 the hardest, actually. Mm-hmm. We saw what would happen. And with my race being the closest race in Arizona history, 280 votes out of 2.5 million. I mean, this is with 9,000 uncounted ballots, and I'm seeing it firsthand. I'm a former prosecutor. To have the government withhold evidence from us, to have the government and the courts not expedite our case, we're over a year from the election, and we don't have any resolution. And this is what they do. The Democrats, they rig our elections with a death by 1,000 cuts, as mm-hmm. I say. So one of the first things and main focuses of why I'm going to Washington, D.C. is election integrity. I've actually witnessed it. I've lived it. And it's, if we don't have honest elections, we don't have a country anymore. Mm-hmm. So then President Trump has gone through it too with 2020. So that's probably one of my biggest motivators, because you know, I look around, and if what these people want, they don't want the people to have a voice. They don't want the common man to have to be able to have power. So that's what they fear the most. And that's why I know it's so important. So I want to ban ranked choice voting at the federal level, because I know they're trying to implement that all across the country. They did that in Alaska. They did that in Maine. So we have to get really strong with pushing back on this radical agenda. By the way, we can do it at the federal level. We can ban ranked choice voting. The Democrats have tried to implement it before. So we have to start getting smart and creative with that. In terms of term limits, you know, sometimes I'm a little hesitant on that as well, because I understand here in Arizona, we do have term limits on our state legislators. But what happens is a lot of them, the lobbyists, become basically the political class that control and influence all of these legislators. And they're just sitting there, and the legislators just become rubber stamps for the lobbyists, who become the subject matter experts on everything. So I think there's a balance of what we have to do, because I certainly don't want to lose somebody like Rand Paul or you know, some of these other folks to maybe more establishment candidates and have them wrestle back control of the party. So we have to be strategic about it. What I'm so excited about going to Washington, D.C. is, you know, I spoke to President Trump the other day, and Carrie Lake. You know, when I first announced, the Trump team and Carrie Lake were encouraging me to run. You know, this America First movement is growing. It's growing at a faster rate than we've seen before. So I know things look bleak right now, but I'm telling you, it's there's a lot of people awakening, and I really credit that to Elon Musk, the South African immigrant who purchased Twitter and I think saved free speech, and he's done more to save free speech than any member of Congress. And I think people are getting enlightened, and they're being awakened. And when I'm in Washington, D.C., I know I'm going to have a fighter. God willing, we have Carrie Lake in the Senate. You know, I'm more optimistic, but we probably just have to go. It's going to get, things are going to get a little worse before they get better. And but November 2024 is everything's on the line.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust, that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend, if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/amber.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So the priorities for me are election integrity, border security, and I honestly think is this the insane policies of inflation. I mean, 24... like Amber, our dollar has been devalued by 24% in 3 years. I mean, we see it in real time when we go to the grocery store, we go to restaurants. I mean, this is Republic ending stuff that the Democrats are pushing. And they're doing that because they're so scared of President Trump and the America First movement that they're willing to pillage the people and sacrifice their lives in order to maintain their status in society. It's really sad.
It's really sad. Are you okay with shutting down the government if need be? Because the power of the purse lies with Congress. And right now, that's the only tool that they have to pass some of these things. And I personally, as a constituent, would be okay with government shutdown if that will get us to a point of a safer country. Are you okay if you have to take that route? Are you okay with shutting down the government or threatening to shut down the government to force the hand of actually good policies that are going to protect our country, like the border?
We have to do something about the border, and nobody's waking up to it. You know, I talked to Andy Biggs the other day, Congressman Biggs, and you know, he was just in the border too, and it's so much worse than people imagine. Mm-hmm. Our government is, what's the purpose of a government if we can't have sovereignty? So quite frankly, yes, we have to have these conversations where we are no longer going to fund some aspects of the government until we actually get the results we want on the border. Because again, mm-hmm. this is very intentional. It was done 3 years ago, and it's only going to get worse. The people are going to see that President Trump is likely to get back into the White House next November. So they're going to, you know, instead of just 300,000 coming in like last month, which was a record breaking, now it might be 400,000. They're going to be rushing to try to do this because they know that when President Trump comes back, and it's going to stop. But where is Congress? We don't have an imperial presidency. We're not supposed to, at least. Congress has an ability right now to flex its muscle and to say, we are not going to take this invasion any longer, and we're going to work for the American people. So yes, I do believe that there should be conversations about either shutting down our border and securing it, or we're going to have to shut down aspects of the government.
Okay. Good. I like to hear that because I want tough America. That's the only way. If we have spine up there, that's the only way we're going to get stuff done. We need spine at this point in time. If we don't do something this go around, we may not have a country in 4 more years. I think we're at such a critical point. Now, you mentioned your court cases, and I think most of us want to know where you're at, what's going on. And for those that have not followed you, just give us a rundown really quick about how you even got to these court cases.
Oh, well, we are the closest race in Arizona history after the initial count, where we know they take weeks to count these ballots. We were down 511 votes. At the time, Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, discovered that there was some real tabulation issues with ES&S machines in a different county, Pinal County, which reduced our deficit by 511 votes to 280. We didn't know any of this information. She withheld that from the courts. She withheld that from us. And this is this is a kangaroo court type of stuff that happened. And I'm a former prosecutor. This is unacceptable. And so we filed a motion for a new trial because we obviously went to trial. They were withholding the evidence. We had no evidence to present because they withheld it. And so what we discovered in the months after, and since we've been fighting in the courts, there's still 9,000 uncounted ballots. And many of those people who count, these are all election day voters, by the way, which we won with 75% of the vote on election day. So as you can imagine, if you count every single one of those 9,000 votes, we would win by 6,000 votes. It would be overwhelming. But what we discovered was those 9,000 votes, they're provisional ballots. However, so many of these people have voted, they have a history of voting in elections. We have affidavits of veterans. They've been here since the 1980s, but they had multiple addresses. They had like a residence in Flagstaff or Prescott, Arizona, so different counties. So the motor vehicle department would change the registration to that county and then cancel the registration, which violates the National Voting Rights Act. We have a sitting state senator's own husband who couldn't cast a vote for their wife, and they couldn't cast a vote that was counted. So this is despicable. We believe over 1,300 people were affected with those issues, probably more. And the courts have pushed us to the brink. And that's why I'm still fighting this case, Amber. Our country is captured. I want people to know that. the Marxists mm-hmm. aren't just at the gates. They've captured our government. They've captured the media. There's a psychosis going around. Mm-hmm. You know, Arizona has all seven Republican justices on the Supreme Court, all seven of them. And yet, when we asked for an expedite, when we asked for them to intervene in our case because the judge still had not signed a final order, the Supreme Court then sanctioned me $55,000. There's seven Republicans on the Arizona Supreme Court. Now, think about that. Katie Hobbs and these corrupt counties are able to withhold evidence from the court and from our legal team, and we are sanctioned for asking them, for asking for the court to speed it up a little bit. So after we were sanctioned, that was the same day that we were sanctioned, I decided to run for Congress. That was the day that Debbie Lesko announced retirement. But that doesn't mean I'm giving up this fight, because we still have we filed two other election cases since then, because I think they think I'm going to get on my knees and go, you know, ask for mercy. I mean, what these people did to the, you know, people of Arizona, there needs to be accountability.
Right.
And quite frankly, if the courts aren't able to provide justice, what is the purpose of them? And that's why I'm looking at this as somebody who is, you know, trained in the law and the legal system. I'm looking at what's happening. This is unbelievable. This is not normal.
Right.
So we are fighting this because I'm curious. And I tell people, you know, they're asking me, hey, what if you get attorney general? What if you become attorney general? I tell them, I want you all to be realistic. We are fighting a corrupt cabal.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to give me something that they stole. They're not going to give me something back that they stole. I mean, our race is provable, very provable that we won. The closest race in Arizona history. This is something that would open the Pandora's box about what actually happened in 2020. There is so much pressure for these people not to do the right thing. So we're going to see where – I'm curious to see where the judges and, you know, these people in black robes, where they're going to go to prevent us from getting a new trial. Because in any just legal system, if one side withholds evidence, you are given a new trial, because any trial requires fairness.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have that evidence present in trial because they withheld it. So – but, you know, I don't have faith in this judiciary.
I don't either.
And it's because I really think there's a psychosis going around, Amber. And
well, you know, said they were Republicans, which proves the uniparty theory. Look at the County Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County. Majority right. Republican, supposedly, right? Yep. Yet they're not giving their constituents what they want one day, paper ballot only, hand count. They don't want to do that. And going back to Chris Mays, the supposed attorney general, she's going after Mojave County wanted to do paper ballot one day only, and she's going after them. She's going after the Cochise County Board of Supervisors, right, and threatening them. Why are you threatening these people? They're not breaking election law. It is not mandatory law that you have to use machines.
No, it's preposterous, but we know why, Amber.
We know why.
Pinal County, Maricopa County. Pinal County had we talk about Maricopa County a lot, but Pinal County is what actually shrunk our deficit from 511 right. to 280, which was a huge, I mean, think about.
And then didn't the guy disappear too?
Yeah, the woman, she fled with $25,000 bonus. She fled to Texas, but they certified an uncertifiable election that they themselves knew had problems, and there's no accountability. And you have mm-hmm. Cochise County, who said, we believe there were massive problems happening in other counties. We don't trust the validity of them. And now Chris Mays is trying to punish these people.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's happening right now. It is so scary, the weaponization of the law and the legal system. And the uniparty is real. It's very real. And I've seen it firsthand, and I intend to destroy this corrupt cabal from top to bottom. And that's why I'm endorsing candidates for Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, because once we're able to take three out of those five seats, we can bring back precinct voting and make sure our elections are intact. So this is a multidimensional war we are fighting. We're not just going to fight it at the federal level in Washington. No. We have to fight it in the school boards. We have to fight mm-hmm. it at every single place, in the universities. We have to fight it in the counties. So we have to start getting smart. We got to think like the enemy. As an intelligence officer, that's what I do.
This, and even on the city level, San Luis in right. Arizona just appointed a vice mayor who was convicted of election fraud. And now she sits as the vice mayor in San Luis, a little town in Arizona. And you put these little towns together that are full of corrupt politicians. And what do you think you're going to have? a free and fair election or justice for everybody. No, if you keep putting corrupt people in office, whether it's at the city level, the county level, the state level, or the federal level, you're not going to have free and fair elections. You're not going to have justice for all. And we're seeing that slowly. So even the little tiny itty bitty podunk towns, cities, and counties need to have good people. And we need to held San Luis accountable. Coconino is just Coconino County, which should be a neutral place where it doesn't matter who gets to vote. They should be net neutral because they're in charge of voting. It's now involved in a dark money operation with a non-governmental organization and influencing the election in Coconino County of Arizona. So If people can't see the corruption yet, where they're blocking a President Trump for judges, blocking President Trump from being on the ballot, dark money or non-governmental agencies giving money or helping government agencies with elections, if people can't see it by now, I don't know what's going to wake them up.
Yeah.
So election integrity is a big deal for me. And one of your counterparts, well, not your counterpart, but one of the people running in your race, I can't wait to talk to them about that because I've had previous conversations with election integrity and I can't wait to hear what he has to say when I bring up those questions. So I'm so grateful. I know you have a lot on your plate and you got to go. So I just want to thank you so much for spending time with me today on the show. I'm looking forward to your race and seeing how you go. I'd love for you to represent me. I mean, but again, we have so many good ones running on this race. So God bless you as you move forward with your campaign. And I just want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.